Today on the Live Free and Ham podcast, how do you spell Baofeng? We all started as technicians in the hobby at one time or another, and we've all been asked the questions along the way by other technicians about what radios to buy or what should we be doing in the hobby now. So if you're a technician or you're getting back into the hobby right now, then this is the show you want to tune into. Let me say welcome to the Live Free and Ham podcast again. You know, we're your bi-weekly podcast covering all things ham radio in New Hampshire, New England, and beyond. If this is your first time listening to our show, welcome and thanks for joining us. If you've ever listened to us previously, you know, please consider providing a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast player, as every review helps grow our show. And if you want to support us financially, we always have a Patreon or Buy Me Coffee link on our website. And lastly, we always encourage you to go check out our website at livefreeandham.com. You can check out our past episodes, you can find the latest swag, and you can find out what we're doing. So without any further ado, let's start the show. I'm your host, Eric. My call sign is N1JUR, and I'm joined by...
Ryan, W1SNH. Happy to be here. It's going to be a great show. Looking forward to these great topics here that we can chat about and fill in all the gaps here for all those new interested in the ham radio and current technicians kind of getting their feet wet in the hobby.
I'm Todd, W1STJ, and let's talk some why I don't own a Baofeng.
Very much so, yeah. So just a couple of things. Obviously, when this show airs, there are some great stuff coming up, and I want to encourage our listeners to definitely get out, because by the time the show airs, there still will be time. Field Day is coming. This is our annual pilgrimage as radio amateurs. We go out there, we have fun, we play radio, we set up antennas, we eat a lot of food, drink a lot of drinks, and just sit by fires and talk about our radio experiences. So if you've never done a field day, all of us, including myself, say get out there, find a club, find a group of guys, gals that are interested in doing it, and just get out and play radio. I mean, you'll have great memories and you'll enjoy something that, you know, will last forever in your memory. I was very young in the hobby and I still have great memories around my first couple of field days that I did. And then the last thing, I guess, I'll touch upon this, but I don't know where it's going to air and how much we're going to talk about it. But if you're in the New England area and you haven't already heard about our POTA meetup, we're going to have a POTA meetup in May timeframe. So, if you're looking or at this point when this airs, you'll probably hear all of our interesting stories and the great experiences that we get out of that. There'll definitely be more of those coming along. So we'd love to have you guys come down, meet us, hang out, and, play POTA. So. Without the further ado, so let's talk about the technician stuff. I mean, this is one of those things that all of us in the hobby, that's the first phase we go through. This is the intro license. It's no longer requiring code. So those that may have, gone and take the test in the past, you had to go through 5 words per minute. That's long gone. We're now in the 21st century and, we just do things, for a basic entry level test. And so now you get your technician. What do you do?
It's an interesting question because, as I've been aging, I've had many different hobbies over the years, wide range of hobbies. And, there's never one car that does everything. There's never one sailboat that does everything, one bicycle that does everything. If you get into a hobby, and it's a very niche area, and the more you learn about that specific topic, it gets very customized and very unique and very highly brand dependent. And, so along with the specific scope of the hobby, you have the community around it and you learn through the fellow enthusiasts, whether it's on an online platform with a group forum or meeting with a local club and sharing information. But the more you learn about it, the more you kind of zero in on, the likes and dislikes or the interests of that specific hobby.
Okay. So just from your personal experience, where did you go? Like, so obviously you know, using your experiences with, you know, riding mountain bikes and all the other things that you kind of did hobby wise from a ham radio perspective, when you got that technician ticket, what was your, like, were you going online first? You know, where did you go with it?
You know, so I was interested with the whole technical side and the techie side of being a ham. So I'm like, all right, with this technician, where, you know, license, where can I take it? And how do I kind of take a step back and survey the landscape and say, and better understand what's available to me and what kind of direction do I want to take it? Because, you know, I heard the question posed to me many different times from more experienced hams. You know, they'd ask me, well, where do you want to focus? What, you know, what bands do you want to operate on? And right. I'd take a step back and ask, you know, say to myself, I don't know. I don't know what I'm interested in yet. Mm-hmm. So I actually spent the first probably, and even during while I was testing, 6 months, 9 months, watching a whole bunch of YouTube videos and reading a whole bunch of forum posts and just kind of reading what other people are doing. And the more I kind of got educated on the landscape of the hobby, I was better educated on, you know, some segments didn't, you know, perk my curiosity as much as others.
Yep.
But then, you know, I quickly realized that, you know, there's also a big financial investment with it. So, you know, with the kids, you know, they're always running around the yard and figuring out, you know, they're always playing with, you know, we have these, was it a FRMS?
FRS stuff. Yeah.
And one of the YouTube channels I came across, you know, it had mentioned the Baofangs. You can program those channel selections into it. I'm like, mm-hmm. Perfect. You know, granted, they have a 2-watt limit and the Baofangs are doing 5 watts, but I could program in those frequencies to the kids' handhelds and talk back and forth to them. And you know, it was just more of a fun family, you know, interaction there.
Right.
So then that was one step that then branched off into, okay, the little rubber ducky antenna is not cutting it. So, all right. So I start researching other, you know, better whip antennas for the HT. And then that goes into, all right, so I have now 2 Baofangs and what else can these handhelds do? Ooh, digital modes. All right. So then I start figuring out, all right, what type of, modem hats can I put on top of a Raspberry Pi to get digital modes to do, you know, branching off on all these subjects, you know, it quickly started spreading out pretty quickly.
So it's sort of like you're like a gamer, you're an online gamer. So you can't just be happy with the standard suit of armor. You've got to go and level up, you know, along the way and kind of.
Yes. However, I always had the question of, or not the question, but the motto of, you know, I don't want to be bouncing around and not learn the basics well.
Okay. Hey, so good point.
How do I learn the basics well? Where do I grab information from? Well, you got the manufacturer's manuals, important to read. You know, they most of them pack in a lot of good information. YouTube tutorials, talking to fellow club members and fellow hams. You know, gathering all this information in and asking questions and figuring out, all right, I'm a newbie here. How do I start? Where do I grab information from and learn the basics?
Right.
You know, my schooling background, you know, I'm not an engineer, so I'm not approaching it from an engineer standpoint. I can't, you know, or I'm not thinking like, you know, some of our other fellow ham club members who are very sharp and they approach it from an engineer standpoint. But I want to learn the basics to the point where, you know, building up that base knowledge so that as I get more interest in other parts of the hobby, I can approach it with a, you know, educated, you know,
intelligent. Yeah. Right. So, right. Ah, interesting. So it sounds like the way I'll summarize it a little bit is that, you know, you're methodical in the processes that you're trying to learn with the intentionality of staying focused along the way to be able to get to learning about every aspect of it.
As many as I can. Yeah. And, you know, even right now, you know, a couple years into the hobby, I'm still going back to the basics. You know, now I remember this morning I was chatting with a few different hams asking, you know, basic questions. Hey, I don't understand this. How does this work? How does that apply to this concept? And, you know, just filling in the knowledge gap so that I can, you know, better work within the hobby.
Oh, cool. Okay. Awesome. All right. So that I can see strategy wise and definitely clear, concise, you know, makes sense. And it's very much, I don't mean to be controlled in the nature. It's not like you're just going to go out and buy like 15 HTs and, you know, right. in every yes. box, like it's Christmas and just assume that, you know, all of it's going to work, you know, when you, you know, turn it on. So yeah, that approach is very different to me. I don't know how, so let's dive in. Todd, you take your, you know, kind of role. So I know you obviously don't have a Baofeng anywhere near you. Although I know I gave your son 4 Baofeng FRS radios, so you do have them in your home. I don't know where they are or what they're doing, yeah, do tell. So you didn't go the Baofeng route. Where'd you go, and what led to where you were once you started as a technician?
Yeah, so I got my technician. You guys know, and I'll let everyone else know, I started because my other hobby, the RC flying, I actually took the technician's test because to fly first person view, which is where you put the goggles on and you can see how the aircraft, it runs on a technician license. Now, no one in my radio club, no one that I know who flies FPV has a technician's license. So I was like, saw the app for ham radio prep. It was $5, general technician. It was COVID. What the hell? It's $5. Studied, took the test. And as I was studying, I had a little handheld scanner and I would listen to our club net. And I said, all right, I'm going to get on this when I get my technician license. So I was getting close to taking the test and I went to HRO and I looked up some stuff on YouTube and I found my nice little deal for a Yaesu FT70D. Did digital. At the time, I didn't know that there was different digitals. I just knew, hey, analog and digital has got to be better than just analog. Right, yeah. So I picked it up. It was $150. I'm like, this is a good deal. So picked it up, put a, you know, came with a little antenna and got my technician license and tried to get on the net and got yelled at.
What?
Oh yeah, John yelled at me because he couldn't hear me and I was breaking it up and I was so excited to get on. I'm like, what do you mean you can't hear me? You know, I'm here. So I was like, all right, I got to figure out what to do. So like Ryan, like what you did, I went online and I started looking up some things. And then I said, okay, well, I had a mag mount for my scanner that I used to sit at the airport with and stick on my car and listen to the air traffic controllers. So I said, all right, I'll get a mag mount antenna for my HT, mm-hmm. which worked better in the car because it never worked in the car anyway. And I had a metal roof at the time in the house I was living at. So I stuck it out the window and I plopped it on the metal roof and voila, John's not yelling at me anymore. And I'm making the repeater, right? I'm like, here we go. Now I'm on the net. I'm enjoying the net. I'm finding all these nets around. I've got a list of them. I'm on every night. I'm joining them. I'm getting feel of the radio. And, like you said, it wasn't enough. I had to move up. So I needed a base station. I needed more power. So I got the 400. Mm-hmm. That was going to be my base station. And I was all excited about that. And I got a diamond antenna. And now I'm booming into the net, the repeater, no problem. I'm getting other repeaters down in Massachusetts. I'm getting the Paxton repeater, the Mount Greylock repeater. I was in heaven. Mm-hmm. And I said, this is all I need. I got people to talk to and voila, I'm good to go. And then I meet Eric.
Yeah. Well, Eric, right. Sorry, my apologies.
Yeah. And then Eric says, you got to get your general. I'm like, I'm good with this. You know, hanging out with the club. I was all happy. I didn't really know what HF was. And so he kind of forced me to get my general. And that's a whole nother story. But as I was doing the HF, while I was a technician, the FT3D came out, and that was kind of a cool radio. So I had to buy that. So I played around with that a lot. And I actually like that radio. It's a great HT, and I brought it down to the Virgin Islands, and I worked repeaters down there, and I, I kept it with me all the time. And then I decided that I had to get a mobile rig. And got that, and now my driving experience is much better. I mean, it could be better, but it's way better than the HT.
Right.
And I was just happy doing technician stuff. I figured repeaters, talking on the radio, I can talk to people in the car. I can talk to people direct. I mean, it was all good. And that was basically what I was going to do. That was my plan. I wasn't planning on going any farther. I didn't think, one, I could pass even the general test because I didn't really know anything about the technician license. I don't come from a engineering background, electricity, anything. I come from social work and criminal justice. So it has nothing to do with anything with ham radio. So it was all foreign to me. So for some of you guys, the technician was probably a piece of cake. For me, it was a little bit of studying.
I'll just comment there. You know, having a mobile radio in the car is wonderful because it really, you know, it fills in a lot of time gaps where either, you know, you're commuting around or, you know, if someone doesn't have good reception at their house, I always encourage someone who's a technician, you know, investigate what it takes to get a mobile rig into your car.
Right.
You know, whether it's a mount on the side of the bumper, or like I did, I just on my older car, I drilled a hole in the roof and mounted an NMO mount.
He did it properly, folks. We have to clarify that. He doesn't have this giant hole that is leaking in the car right now.
I mean, the ground plane is excellent, but yes. Having a mobile rig 50 watts in the car it's great. Mm-hmm. And like tomorrow, I'm going on a family vacation. And we're going on a road trip, 6-hour car drive. And I'm already, you know, researching repeaters along the way. And I'm going to have the other, you know, B channel on 5.2. And it's going to be great. So as a technician, highly recommend getting a mobile rig in the car.
Okay. So that seems to be, I'm in agreement with that. And I think Todd's the same way. It's like, I did the HT route. And like Todd just shared, and, you know, I'm going to share now, HTs are great. But HTs are hot trash in my mind in terms of the nature of getting out on them because they're designed, they're following the old cell phone route. Smaller is better. And so they're getting smaller, but at the same time, they're also losing the capabilities to be able to hit the larger, you know, farther away repeaters or, you know, being consistent with your audio. And so my liking towards HTs, it's great. I mean, they're like almost kind of collector's items that I have on the shelf. And there are a couple of hams in our club that collect them that they don't know they're really collecting them. They just buy them because they're cool. And, you know, they have them to say that, you know, they have them and, you know, and they know some of their features in them. But I think we're all in agreement that the mobile rig is the way to go because if you spend any time in your car, you know, it's a great receiver. It's a great, you know, transmitter and you'll have hours of enjoyment, you know.
Now, Eric, I will say that if a person is inclined, they get their technician license and they have any interest in the digital side at home, if they get any type of a hotspot, whether it's a homemade Raspberry Pi with a hat or it's a commercial product and they get on any one of the various digital modes, that's where I think HTs really shine. Yeah. Around the house, you know, you're running low wattage and you can ping RF to that digital modem and get, you know, you literally go around the world digitally, get on whatever group you want, whether it's D-Link or Yaesu Fusion or, you know, any one of the, you know, even the new M17.
Yeah.
It's, I think that's where it really shines. But that's one of those very unique segments of the hobby where, and I can think of one of our club members who that's all he does, you know, that's his focus. And it's cool. I like it. But it, you know, it's a specific aspect or, you know, segment of the hobby.
Right. And I think it's kind of like what I view in my mind as a rabbit hole. You can really get deep into it and lost in it very fast because it's so multifaceted, very technical sometimes. But the entry point into it, like you said, is pretty small and easy. I mean, there is some investment to get it going, but it's not like, you know, buying $1,000 radio to get into, you know, that side of the aspect.
Well, one of the things that I experienced, and I kind of looked it up and I figured out that on the Fusion repeater, the one that's up in Goffstown, I was able to change it through my HT. and go from what they had on, which was the Wolfpack. I was able to switch it to America's Link.
Oh, yes.
And right from the HT. And I thought that was pretty cool because now I wasn't just talking New England. I was talking
the world,
people all over the place, right?
Yep.
So that was kind of interesting. And I thought that was a good, that kind of gave me a little bit of a bug about moving on because I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. But again, it was, I thought that was cool. And that's good. My HT does that. My HT also, I think, and I haven't done this yet and I want to do this, is for crossband repeat. I think it's going to be kind of cool when I finally get around to doing it, to set my, especially when doing the net, when we do our nightly nets and we have, you know, I want to be outside
by the pool,
by the pool, or I'm down at the fire pit or whatever, and my HT won't hit the repeater and I don't want to get yelled at again. So the crossband repeat would be very cool to have, that I could just have my HT with me and I don't have to actually be at the shack.
That's actually a really neat feature. So I have, at some point, undisclosed date figured out this summer, we'll have a campfire pizza, maybe even a bacon wrap scallop around the campfire.
Nice.
Cross band repeater party.
There you go.
And so we'll bring our HTs over and check into the net at 7 p.m. from the campfire.
Very cool. I will bring the fluids.
Yes. No, that'll be a lot of fun. Yeah. So, I mean, so there's a lot you could, I mean, for me, that was really, really all I really cared for in the beginning. I really had no ambition to move on. I honestly didn't even know what HF and what was even beyond. I had no idea. I'm just like, oh, this is cool. And I was very content. And then as I got to know you guys, as I got to know members of the club, and I start hearing people talk, and that's kind of where I started to get interested. And then my first time observing HF, I wasn't with you guys. I was with some other guys that I had met on the repeaters, that a guy pulled up a wire and was then talking to Italy within like 5 minutes. And I was like, whoa, that's pretty awesome. And I think that is where technicians, once they get that and they see, wow, look at how much more you can do, then that moves, that motivated me to say, hey, I got to get this general thing so I can play with those guys.
Yeah. So, which is interesting, you know, with the testing to go from, or even into technician from ground zero, or going technician to general, this is definitely a, I don't know if it's a hot button subject, but, you know, the knowledge that's being tested for the exam versus what is practical and required, kind of just good knowledge to operate in the field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where do you learn that information, and what's important, what's you really need to pay attention to, and what's kind of nice to know, but not super critical.
Right.
And that comes through, I think, exposure to other hams, asking questions and talking to people, which leads me down that trail of, you know, as a technician, how can you get involved? Well, I think it comes down to your local club, you know, getting involved and meeting the other hams in your area where you can get that mentor support.
Yeah. And so funny, that's actually a good segue. I think it sounds like the evolution, to say, is that we'll kind of back the train up a little bit, kind of frame this a little bit. So someone who's listening, as you're starting as a technician, we're basically encouraging, yeah, go out and get your first HT, whatever you can afford. You know, it's not going to be as the best quality you can, but in essence, it's going to give you the little bit of the experience of dealing with a radio. The next step in line is, you know, sounds like, yeah, get on a repeater, find a repeater, talk to, you know, look up the, you know, how to program your radio. There's plenty of resources out there in YouTube land and everywhere to how to program that device, and try getting on a repeater. Now, like Todd's experience, I mean, obviously he got, you know, basically, I wouldn't say yelled at, but in essence, scolded sternly to, you know, fix your audio, which, you know, from a technician standpoint, I remember my very first time that I did that. And I was living in, you know, Massachusetts at the time, and I was like 17, 16. I'm like, I got my first radio, got it all programmed, and they couldn't hear me. And I'm like, you know, constantly just hitting, ker-chunking the machine because I couldn't get my audio through. And I was getting adults getting mad at me going, stop ker-chunking the machine. It's, you know, illegal. You need to be identifying. And I couldn't transmit. And I had to, like, you know, almost like an embarrassingly at the next club meeting that I went to when I went there, I'm like, I'm the one that was ker-chunking the machine. I'm having a problem with our radio. Now, they were great in terms of helping me get that working. But at the same time, you have to have a little thicker skin, I guess, when you start out there. So don't be afraid when you're a technician and you put your call out there. If you don't hear anybody, try a couple more times, you know, keep practicing, try a couple different machines until someone comes back. There will be guys, there will be gals that will come back to you, want to have a conversation, and then start, you know, asking questions, because all of us hams, we love talking about our gear. We love talking about how to connect the repeater and, you know, what this repeater does and this one doesn't, locations and all of that stuff. So with those two pieces, it kind of brings us to that last piece that Ryan was talking on, you know, get connected to a club. Now, that's kind of my one thing that I think that is important, but a good club is always going to be a, you know, it has to be a good fit for the person, you know, because you just don't want to go into a club that's, you know, not as, we'll say, active in, you know, the hobby, or, you know, is very much more social than it is, you know, we'll say, in the ham radio hobby. So what, when you guys started into our club or just being introduced, did you guys do any like club hunting or, you know, honeymooning between other clubs to kind of find a fit or find people that you could connect with, or what was your experiences?
Yeah, I researched all these repeaters and I would get on, and I was the guy that, you know, got my technician license. I'm super nervous to get on the air for the first time and I'm taking deep breaths and I'm ready to go on. And then I'm the guy going on the repeater going, CQ, this is, and my call sign was KC1NGU, CQ, this is KC1NGU, CQ, CQ. And the guy gets on there, he goes, you don't need to call CQ, as a repeater. And I said, oh, brand new.
Yep.
That's I go, but the test said to call CQ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but you know, everyone on the air is really great. I mean, you get the congratulations, you get the, hey, welcome, here's our club. A lot of clubs will offer you free membership, like
ours does.
Ours does. And then the there's one out on Saddleback Mountain, that club, as a technician, your first year, you get a free membership and they have a repeater. So they didn't have a net at the time. They do now, but at the time they didn't. But I would always get on there and hear people talking and chime in and get to know some of those guys. So I've met a lot of people that I don't have any idea what they look like. Mm-hmm. But I know their call sign. I know a lot about them because I've talked to them on the repeaters. And I think that's what's kind of cool. Like, Eric, you and I were at Near Fest and we got to meet Brian. Mm-hmm. And I had never met him. I've been talking to him for 3 years, you know, all on and off, all kinds of stuff. I hear him, I got a question, I ask him. I never met the guy in person. I tried to meet him a couple years ago at Near Fest. I couldn't find him, and then this year, so I just went up to him and I knew who he was and I introduced myself, introduced you to him. And so I mean, that's kind of like, I've never had a ham be like making fun of you, you know, telling you you don't know what you're doing. You know, it's always been positive. It's never been a negative experience. And I think the biggest thing is just getting out there and throwing your call sign out there and start talking to people. I'll be traveling like down south and I'll just throw, I have a couple repeaters like going down into Mass, and you know, I'll just reach out to them and someone normally picks up and just start having a conversation. And it's good to do that.
Yeah,
absolutely. And you know, the hobby's about people. So who knows, you may be near a club and you go to one or two of their meetings or their social events and you don't click. That's fine. You know, it's, you search around, you're going to find another club that you do click with, and just keep plugging away at it. And you know, the hobby's very vast, so it's great and has a lot to offer.
Yep. And remember, when you're part of a, like, you don't have to be just with one club. You can be like members of several clubs and, you know, get the experience across the board, because like Ryan says, you're not going to plug in with everybody or not connect with everything, but there might be an aspect in that club that you like, but you're just not going to participate, you know, or might not see that in the club you're in with now. So, you know, always consider that, you know, side of things when you're, you know, kind of searching for that home.
I think the three of us and also Casey kind of all joined our club right around the same time. I can't remember who was first or whatever, but I remember meeting Casey, and Casey was a technician when I was a technician. And then he came and he's like, "Oh, I'm going for my general today." And I was like, "Oh, I got to catch up to that." Right. Like, "Oh, I'm behind. I can't be the only technician here." But it was nice. And then the older guys that are in the club, or the guys that have been in for a while, or him, you know, they were all so awesome just to kind of welcome him in and ask questions and just encourage. And there was no pushing. There was no like, "Oh, you got to do this, you got to do that." It was just very, from my experience, was just very like, "Hey, welcome. Great to have you here. And if you need any help, let us know."
With a caveat of pushing you to get that flex.
Well, the press. That's a whole nother topic with you guys, yeah. Spending my money. Oh, I joked with Eric. I said, "Listen, once I get my HF rig and my antenna, I'm good to go. I don't need anything else. This is like exactly. That's it." And he would laugh at me and say, "Oh, yeah, right, Todd. We'll see that. We'll see that." Now it's like, it's never going to end. It's just a non-
It's all good stuff.
And, yeah. You know, that's funny thing as a technician, you think you're just going to get the radio and be okay with it. But, you know, guess what? You're going to go to a club meeting and you're going to see other guys with other radios that look a little different than yours. And you're going to see a feature in there and go, "Well, my radio doesn't do that. How can I get that feature?" Or like, you know, Ryan mentioned, "Oh, digital modes? Oh, I have to go get a hotspot. And where do I get that? Oh, I got to go to the candy store." If you live in New England, you are going to be doomed. Your credit card, you might as well just sign over to HRO indefinitely, because if you live even 20, I mean, we live, 20, 25 minutes, maybe half an hour away from HRO max. It's dangerous, especially if after Hamfest, you go to a Hamfest and you're like, "I couldn't find anything. Well, let's just go to HRO. I'll find something there. I know I will." And so,
I know. I never leave out of there without spending a couple $100. It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Even if I go in there for nothing, I'm like, "Oh, I'm only getting this one part." And then, "Oh, I need that. And I should get that." And
Yeah, they do. So, you know, okay. So as a technician, you kind of get in the HTU world, you play around with a little bit of the digital stuff. You definitely get plugged into a club. Where, you know, what bit of advice would you give somebody in general that, you know, you learned kind of the hard way, that, you know, you would say, you know, "Don't go do this," or, you know, "Don't just, you know, open up the credit card and go crazy"?
So a few things. One, through all my various hobbies, you know, I've learned the hard way and spent a lot of extra money. And I've kind of come to the conclusion of buy once, cry once. You know, you buy a used whatever, and then you figure out, it's either it doesn't do everything I want it to do, or it's broken, or I should have spent, you know, a little extra money and got the one I really wanted. And over the various hobbies, I've learned that. So, and there's never one unit that does everything.
Right.
There's, you know, a couple shack in the boxes that does UHF, VHF, HF. And there's one or two that they're really nice and they work great. But the infrastructure, whether it's, you know, grounding and bonding, or spending a little extra for some quality coax that's, you know, it's going to sit for a couple of years on your house or at your, you know, your location. That I think is money well spent. And, you know, definitely take the time and research it, because, you know, you can very well hold on to this equipment for many, many, many years, and it's well worth, you know, getting exactly what you want versus saying, "I'll get this. It'll hold me off for a little bit," and wishing, you know, 2 or 3 years later, "I should have got that."
Mm-hmm. Well, I have that issue too. I agree with you 100%, because in the long run, you're going to end up spending more money by cheaping off in the early bit. You know, like, "Oh, I'll just go a little, I'll just get this." But then you end up getting another, and then you end up paying double almost. But, you know, you also have to fit in within your budget. So,
yes,
you know, that's one of the things, like, I really honestly believed that I was going to get my HF rig, my portable in the car, and a portable, a mobile rig for a base station at the house. And I was going to be good. I had one antenna or two antennas, one for VHF, UHF, one for HF. I was good. And now I've got another antenna. I've got another HF radio coming in. I've got two mobile stations. I got two HDs. I've got three sets of headphones. I mean, actually four. So, I mean, but you get what you into it. Like, what do you need all that stuff for? Well, I think you need all that stuff because, one, it's part of the hobby and you're growing with it and you're learning more things. And I think as a technician, you know, get what you can afford, get into it, get on the air, talk to people. And then from that point on, you can decide where you want to go. You know, some people, and I didn't know what I wanted to get into. I had no idea. I mean, I still don't know. I mean, I found that I like the mobile operation or the portable operations, doing the POTUS stuff. That's my thing. I could do that all day, all night long. It's my favorite part. I'd rather be outside on my 891 versus in my shack, just because I have more fun when I'm out there. But as a technician, you know, like you said, Ryan, the commute, I can't tell you how awesome it is to talk to my friends on the commute, either in or out of work. Casey and I run in, we talk all the time, and our commutes are always like about the same time. So as we're getting off, like, I gotta go. He goes, yeah, me too. Perfect timing. Tim, he's another one. He's someone that I talk to a lot of times on the ride home. He picks me up or I call out. Russell, he's one of our members that he's also RC flyer. So normally him and I just talk about RC stuff on the radio, but it's kind of cool to be able to talk to people during your commute or while you're driving. And like I said, it makes the commute go quicker. Yeah. And my biggest thing is I don't give enough breaks and people can't chime in. I think that's all our problems. Once we get in a conversation, we forget that someone might be trying to talk, you know, join us.
Yeah. We'll say Orion, but you know, we don't allow him to, you know, 2 seconds to jump in.
Real good at speed talking.
Yeah. I start getting text messages or Discord starts going off. Hey, I'm trying to get in here.
There's one guy, Paul, KF4TPY in our club. He has got it down to the, like, I almost sometimes think his radio is broken, but I know he puts an indefinite pause for like 10 seconds and I can almost kind of in my head think he's counting out, because like I'll talk to him and then he'll be like, I'll finish the transmission and then there'll be this dead air for like 8 seconds and you're like, did his radio go away? Did it shut off? And he goes, nope, no, he's just allowing space to occur. And it's like, that's the perfect, you know, aspect of, you know, allowing to be able to allow other people to come in. And it, you know, it works out great because, you know, I'm a fast talker. A lot of us are the same way too. And so, you know, if we don't allow space for other people to jump in, we'll never be able to, you know, have a party.
Eric, that's a great segue as we kind of taper off here. What are your guys kind of either rules or advice or pet peeves of operating on a repeater?
Oh.
Do you have any advice for the new technician as they're just getting going?
You can start, Todd, but I've got a couple.
No, you can go ahead. Okay. I'll listen to you.
So a couple of things, and this is just my personality. So if you're a shy person, this is going to be a little tough for you here and understand, but I encourage you to do it because it'll only make things better. Now, traditionally, repeaters growing up and even today is still kind of talked about that repeaters are supposed to remain open for emergency communications. That's kind of like the background understanding. So that's why a lot of repeaters are quiet, because a lot of people are just waiting for emergency traffic to appear, which it never ever happens, at least that I'm aware of yet today. But they are also open for you to be able to just have general rag chews or conversations. Basically, rag chew is a conversation. So if you're in the HF world, you know, a rag chew is, you know, that conversation between two people on the repeater. So with those two things at odds with each other, I would say find a repeater, do the first rule number one of DX, which is listen, listen, and listen again. And if nothing ever occurs over a period of time of your car ride, then throw out your call. Don't worry about whether or not you know, like Todd said, call CQ or you fumble over your call or you mess things up in terms of how you put it out there. But practice, because in essence, that's the only way you're going to learn how to be able to communicate. And then listen to how other people have conversations on the repeaters. Every repeater is sort of like the old water cooler approach. People talk a little differently on a repeater. Some guys are, you know, more loose, you know, in their conversations and don't always identify every 10 minutes. But, you know, figure out what that rhythm is and then, you know, see if you fit into it. And always, always, always after listening, be prepared to ask a question, no matter what it is. Like, you know, hey, how's your day going? Or, you know, provide some way to allow that person on the other end to come back to you without just saying their call sign and their name and then, you know, 7-3, let's go away. That's my tips.
So when I was a technician and I was just starting, I'd throw my call sign out there, and there's some repeaters that have regulars, right, that are always on it, yep. and they wouldn't get back to me. But I knew they were there, you know. They just go silent, like, why don't they want to talk to me? Mm-hmm. So what I would do is I'd go out there, I'd be like, this is W1STJ radio check. And then people come back to you, and you go, oh, thanks, I was just checking. I wasn't hearing anyone. I just got this new mobile rig, or I got this new HT. I set up a new antenna, and I'm just trying to get it to work. And next thing you know, you're having a conversation. Oh, congratulations! Oh, where, you know, and that's how I got people to start talking to me, and then they started recognizing the call sign. So the more you're out there, and the more repeaters that you regularly frequent and throw your call sign out there, then they start to know you, and then when you call it out, they'll respond. Yeah. I think there's a lot of people listening, and they pick and choose who they want to talk to.
Oh yeah,
but everyone will respond to a radio check, because it's just kind of like, I think it's just a given in ham radio. Like, if someone's testing their equipment or they want to make sure their radio's making the repeater, they're going to come in and at least come back to you. And then you at least know your radio is working.
Well, the radio check is sort of like, you know, not getting into heaven and getting into heaven. If you don't answer a radio check, you know where you're going. It's simple as that.
Right.
And you know, I would also say, and this is a skill that I'm still working on and improving, but, you know, create a groundwork or a table of contents for the conversation. You know, if I am in the car and I only have a quick 2-minute ride down to the next door, you know, down the neighborhood, I'll preempt that in the conversation versus if I'm traveling down the highway and I got 20 minutes of chat within range of the repeater, you know, that conversation tends to go, you know, a lot longer, and I let that be known so that the, you know, the thoughts and the conversation can ebb and flow as needed. Mm-hmm. So that, I guess that's more of a, I'd say a courteous type, policy.
I would agree. It works well, Ryan, because in essence, I don't even, now that you brought it up, now that I'm remembering our conversations that we have on the computer, it makes total sense now. Now I know, you know, you're how the regular flow works. And I was like, oh, that makes sense now. Okay, cool.
So for what it's worth.
No, I think I never even thought of that. So that's actually, because sometimes I've only got like five, I'm running to the store. And then I have to end it. Like I've done this to Tim 1,000 times. Like I get him like right at the end, I'm 5 minutes from the high. Hey buddy, I gotta go. But you know, most of the guys that we on our repeater, you know, that we all know, those guys are, you know, everyone's really cool about getting on the radio. And, you know, I think I called you guys, I was in Nashua and it was all staticky, and I joined in and just said, hey, I'm just going to listen because you guys are in and out and I don't want to, you know, be a nuisance. But,
you know, on the other hand, you know, if I know I have a short car ride and I'm listening to a net and there's, you know, some of the other nets that I've joined where there's 30 or 40 people checking in, you know, it'd take 45 minutes to get through the rotation. Mm. I'm not going to check into that net when I know I'm going to be home in 20 minutes and I'd end up having to sit in the driveway in the car to, you know, participate. So,
but you could join that net and say you're on short time and then you get bumped to the top.
Or mobile,
Or mobile. Some nets will do mobile. They'll move you up too.
I find it funny. Just a sidebar with our nets. When you say you're mobile, somehow you get bumped to the top when certain control ops are in charge. When I say I'm mobile, I get somehow stacked in the same spot. And I'm like, I said it was mobile. I thought that was the magic word to get to the top. I only have like 10 minutes. Come on.
Well, you got to say short time, then you'll get it. Time.
Okay. The wording right there. Just speak it in Spanish instead. Maybe that might work. So, yeah, I would say overall, so these are some great tips as technicians. And again, we don't have, you know, it written in stone as to what the formula is for a technician, because it's different for everybody. But in a nutshell, we all want to encourage you guys. We all want to say, don't give up. Try, and keep trying. Because in essence, somebody eventually will come around and be able to make a connection with you and be able to be that resource to be able to drag you in. I mean, we're all a good example of that. You know, we're both in our conversations with one another on the repeaters to then leading to, you know, close friendships. And now we're doing things and events and club activities all together. And we hang out outside of that as well and on top of it. So it will just continue to build upon it. So don't give up. Don't feel like you're getting discouraged. And try every aspect you can. There's plenty of people in this hobby that are willing to teach you about something. Go find them. Go ask questions. You know, no matter how simple it might be, don't feel like you coming across as, you know, you should know the answers, because a lot of us started, you know, never knowing anything outside of, you know, just getting our ticket. And so I would say, you know, keep the course, keep working on it. But at the same time, you know, reach out to us. You know, we'd love to be able to hear from you guys. We want to know, you know, that you guys are hearing us. You know, what are your technician experiences? You know, are there things that, you know, we didn't touch upon or we missed that, you know, we should definitely, you know, have a revisit in the show? We definitely have a couple people we want to line up that are perfect examples of technicians that we could talk to that, you know, have done every aspect of a technician's, you know, license that they can do before they move to general. And they've done it with such flair and such, you know, panache that it was just like, why couldn't I have done that? That's a perfect, you know, example. So we're going to bring people like that on to, you know, kind of encourage you as well as if you're technicians. But just to kind of wrap things up here, you know, like I said, thank you again for being part of our, you know, ham and potato. Jeez, oh, I did this again, man. I'm going to modify our script again. Live Free or Ham podcast. We'll eventually figure this one out. But we'd love to hear from you guys. So, you know, as always, you can reach out to any one of our hosts. I'm can be found at n1jor.com or n1jor.nh at Gmail. Ryan, you can...
Yeah, I can be found at ryan@w1snh.com.
Okay. And Todd?
I can be found at w1stj.com or w1stj.nh@gmail.com.
And if you ever want to reach out to the pod, you could always go to our website and fill out the comment form or email us at livefreeorham@gmail.com. And from all of us at Live Free and Ham, 7-3.
7-3. 7-3.